Thank you, T. He is risen. Okay, in the early church, whenever they would gather together in a situation, a setting like this, and one of them would cry out, "He is risen," the others would declare, "He is risen indeed." So we'll try it again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That's better. That's better. Good to see you here this morning. We trust that you're having a great day. And I'm going to ask if you would please take your Bibles and open up in the book of Revelation. But Pastor, the resurrection story is in the Gospels. I know it is. I read the Bible. But I forgot? No, I didn't forget. This morning, I would like us to look at some of the words in red in Revelation chapter 1. By the way, Revelation is the last book in the Bible, so it should be easy to find. You want to go to chapter 1, and we're going to pick up our reading at verse 17, and we're going to read through 20. John the Revelator and his vision of what God had in store and has in store yet for the end of this world writes these words. He said, "And when I saw him," him being Jesus, "I fell at his feet as a dead man, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, 'Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last, and the living one.' And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall take place after these things. As for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels, or the pastors, if you will, of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we are gathered together here today for one reason, and that is to worship you and to praise you and to give you glory for what you have gifted to us. Father, you have gifted to us the opportunity of eternal life. You have gifted to us the privilege of coming together to worship you and to know that our Lord has risen. And so, Father, as we look at what you have given, we ask that you would help our hearts to be filled with joy and with gratitude on this unique day. For it's in your glorious name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to share with you four reasons, if you will, that Christ was crucified and why he rose. And so as we begin to go through these, I would like each of us to reflect upon what is declared in the Word of God as we look at this, and what is our privilege, and are we walking in the privilege that God has given us of being his children? And so let's begin to look at this. The very first reason that Christ arose from Easter in Revelation 1:18, it says, "I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." The very first reason that he went through all of that was that you and I might live in him. That you and I might have life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we read these words, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature." And so Jesus Christ went to the cross, and he died, and then rose again in order that you and I might be able to have life everlasting in him. You see, because of Christ's death and resurrection, we have become new creatures. We have been promised forgiveness and cleansing. We have been declared clean if we trust in Him, place our faith in Him, repent of our sins, and seek His forgiveness. And He washes over us then with the power of His grace and His forgiveness. And He takes our names and He blots them out of the book of the books, if you will, of sin, and He writes our name in the book of life. What an amazing gift. And from that moment, we have life in Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus went to the cross. I wonder how we would have responded if we would have been one of the disciples. If we would have been there in the garden sleeping. If we would have been there when Jesus came and woke us up and said, man, you guys, the Spirit's willing, but wow, is the flesh ever weak. If we would have been there when suddenly there's the clamor of the crowd that is coming to arrest Him, if we would have been there when they went through the whole trial process, if we would have been there when they declared Him guilty and wanted Him crucified and dragged Him to where He was going to be beaten and bruised and brutalized, what we would have done as we watched as they placed upon His back the cross member of that cross and made Him carry it to the top of the hill. If we would have been there as they took those nails and drove them into His flesh. If we would have been there when they dropped that cross into the ground with a thud, just literally shaking the very bones of Jesus. If we would have been there to see the agony. If we would have been there to observe every drop of blood that ran down the cross or dripped from the cross members to the ground. If we would have been there, would we have been different today? How would we do it? Would we have been different than those disciples that believed that all hope was lost? Would we have been different than Thomas who cried out, unless I see the nail prints in His hands and the sword printed in His side, I'll not believe. Would we have been different? You see, folks, we wouldn't have. The very doubts, fears, disbeliefs that those disciples had, you and I would have had if had we seen those same experiences. The good news is we don't have to see that kind of thing. We don't have to go through watching the anguished Christ as He gave Himself for us. But this one thing we must do, we must believe in Jesus Christ as the supreme sacrifice of God. We must receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And then we must live a life that honors God every day of every year for the rest of our lives. You see, Christ went through all of that that we might live in Him. That we might have life in in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we know that Christ arose in order that we might live like Him. That we might live in Him, but that we might live like Him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 tells us that Jesus left us an example that we should know how to follow His steps. He has left us an example by the purity and the perfection that He exhibited, by the great willingness to be sacrificed. You will remember it was in the garden that Jesus was praying, and He said, "Man, Father, if there's some other way, if I don't have to go through all of this, then please, if there's some other way, let that happen. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." You see, a willingness to give up Himself and His self, any self-centeredness, desire to live for Himself. He set that all aside. He says, "Your will be done. Your will be done." Oh, people, if we could have that kind of passion. If we would simply stop being self-centered and self-focused and become God-centered and God-focused. If we would just simply look to Him and the example that He has set and live our lives in a way that He has lived His life and declare, you know what, His word is truth, every bit of it, then we wouldn't be taken in by society. We wouldn't be taken in by all of the lies that take place out there. And we would be righteous and we would stand before our God with pride. We would throw away the arrogance of self-sufficiency and self-centeredness, and we would be submissive to the will of God. Just as Jesus submitted Himself to the will of His Father in the garden, that would be who we are. And we can be, if we'll yield ourselves so that we live like Him. He has left us an example that we should follow His steps, that we should live as Jesus lived, submissive and yielded to the will of God. The third reason that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that He has provided for us the privilege that we might live for Him. All right? That we might live for Him. We might live in Him, live like Him, and now that we might live for Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 tells us, "They which live should not live unto themselves, but unto Him." Those who have life in Jesus Christ should no longer live unto themselves, but they should live their lives for Jesus. "Well, you know what, Pastor? That's going to take away a lot of my fun. Jesus was not a fun guy, you know. I mean, He didn't party. What in the world's the matter with Him? And He's going to really slow my social life down." Well, you know what? There's no social life in the lake of fire. No social life in the lake of fire. Only a continual suffering and sorrow. And so it's better, folks, to submit ourselves to Christ here and now, and live for Jesus so that we can have the promise of living with Him forever. For that will be life. Oh, but Pastor, the world tells us that if we live for Him, and if we live like Him, and if we live in Him, that we'll be bigots. That's what we'll have to be. We'll speak out against the homosexuals. Oh, that's a terrible thing to do. Do we love the homosexuals enough to declare the forgiveness of God and the love of Jesus Christ? And the fact that God has a solution for their sin, not for their nature. But we'll have to tell the thief to stop his stealing and taking that which doesn't belong to them, because you know what? They deserve what doesn't belong to them. No, they don't. No, they don't. Sin. Well, we're going to have to confront the liar and tell the liar that the liar's of his father. You know who the father of all lies is? The Bible tells us that Satan is the father of all lies. And he came right out and he told the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil himself, for he is a liar and the father of all lies." And we're going to have to warn people, you can't be a liar and be in God's kingdom. But there's deliverance and forgiveness for liars. But it only comes through Jesus Christ. And then it comes to a yieldedness and a submission to Him in order that we might live for Him. And then we no longer lie. You see, that's the way forgiveness with God works. When we receive deliverance and forgiveness from our sin, we walk out and we get out of that business. When we seek God's forgiveness for lying, we walk out and we stop lying. And everybody says, "Yep, that's what you need to do." And when we walk out of these doors and we get forgiveness for stealing, we go out and we don't steal anymore. "Yep. You tell it, preacher. You go right ahead and you tell it." If we are homosexual and we receive forgiveness and deliverance, we walk out the door, we get out of the homosexual lifestyle. "Oh, no! No, no, now you're treading on dangerous ground here." Why don't we love the homosexual enough to tell them to stop their sin? To tell them that there's deliverance. Because we might offend them. Offend them. At least get them thinking that there might be deliverance for a lifestyle pattern they have chosen. And don't fall for the blasphemy that they say when they say, "Well, God created me this way." That's blasphemy. Beware when men call evil good and good evil. When you say God created the homosexual to be a homosexual, you're saying that the good God is evil. For then He's going to punish them forever. So He must be evil. Be cautious. Don't fall for the blasphemy. But we need to live in Him, like Him, and for Him, so that we might live finally with Him. Do you want heaven as your eternal destiny? Then you'd better live in Him, like Him, for Him. Do you want an eternal lake of fire as your eternal destiny? Then this is what you have to do. Are you listening? See, that's all you have to do. Nothing. Nothing. Jesus didn't do nothing for you. He did everything. He died that you might have life. He died that you might have hope. He died that you might have peace and truth. He died that you might be reconciled to God. He died that you might be better. For you would be honoring the image of God. Why did Jesus rise from the dead? So that we could have hope. So that we could have life. So that we could have forgiveness. So that we could have deliverance. So that we could have heaven. That's why. Why do we celebrate Easter? Because Jesus demonstrated His power over death and hell through the glory of the resurrection. Look again, Revelation chapter 1. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell. Jesus, through the power of the cross, took away the control of man by Satan by taking from his hands the keys of death and hell. With that complete victory, he gives you and I hope. He gives you and I life. But I'm going to tell you what. It's not on our terms. It's on His. We, as the created, have no business to tell the Creator how things ought to be done. We must live in Him, for Him, and like Him, if we want to live with Him forever. Let's stand. I realize we've run a few minutes late. I guess I just don't care about that. I'm going to ask everybody here to bow your head and close your eyes. Nobody looking around. I want to ask you today, are you living for Jesus Christ? Not just have you made a decision for Him when you were 9 or 10 or 7. Are you living for Him now? If you're not, what I would like you to do is I'd like you to raise your hand where you're at. No one's looking around. But I want you to raise your hand where you're at because I want to pray for you. That God would just so speak to you that He might take the truths of His Word and apply them to your heart. So I want to pray for you. So if you're here and you're not living for Jesus Christ, I want you to just quickly raise your hand and put it back down. No one's looking around. Quickly, just raise your hand and put it back down because I want to pray for you. Anyone like that at all? Okay, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, teach us that life is on Your terms and not ours. Teach us to be honest, honorable, truthful. Teach us to be like You. And Father, open up every door of opportunity that we might have life. And that we might be able to show someone else Your way. Lord, now fill us with hope. We thank You for the amazing gift of life that comes from Your hand because of Your sacrifice. Father, we love You. Jesus, we adore You. Holy Spirit, we invite You to lead us and to guide us. For it's in Your incredible and awesome name we pray. Amen. He is risen. Have a great day in Jesus Christ. Thank you for being here.